The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Psalm 13, verse number 1, it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, 'I have prevailed over him.' Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." We read this psalm and we see the psalmist as he is very much in a situation in his life that I would say there's a lot of emotion that he is experiencing. Best I've been able to tell from studying this passage, no one really has a good answer to what David was going through in his life at the time that he penned this particular psalm. Now, we can look at the life of David, and we know that there were some very, you know, difficult things that David experienced during his life. There were some very real problems that he faced, sometimes that were not because of his doing. Sometimes those problems were because of his own actions, because of his own doing. He kind of got himself into some of those situations. But I look at these verses, and I see David and just the emotion that he writes with in these first few verses of the psalm. It's a cry of distress. It's a question to God, how long? This morning, Children's Corner, they were talking about praying to God, and we see this cry out to God here in the psalm. But they were talking about praying to God and the fact that nothing is too small, nothing is too big, you know, for God. As I was working on this week, Valley said, "Well, I'm going to do Children's Corner. Let me see your notes." And then she showed me what she had, and she pretty much was preaching my exact sermon, and she went to Hannah and did that instead. But we think about prayer, and we think about the fact that, you know, we can go to God. We can know that God hears us. We can know that there's nothing too small, insignificant. There's nothing too great that it's impossible for him to answer. Yet oftentimes, I think as we go through our Christian lives, if you're like me, sometimes we're guilty of taking that for granted. We don't go to him in the times that we need to. Sometimes it's because we get to a point, maybe to the point of where David was almost, where things have become too out of our control. The situation's too great. The storms are too great. And we find ourselves in a place of despair and distress. And that's when we finally were like, hey, we remember to call out to God. It might be all that we know to do. And I think that's kind of a place from which David is writing this. We see this cry of distress and this question that he repeats, I believe, four times in the first two verses. How long, O Lord, how long? Sometimes when we're going through difficult situations in life, when things are not going the way that we want them to, last year we went through the process of buying a house, and, you know, you're waiting on that process to get completely approved and the final, you know, closing. And sometimes you're like, how long? You know, what else can they ask for? Is this ever going to be something that actually takes place? How long? And sometimes in our life, I think that's the attitude with which we wake up in the morning. How long? How long is it going to continue like this? When we go to bed, how long is it going to continue? Whatever we're facing, how long is it going to continue like this? And David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? He desires that God would change the situation that he's in. He desires that God would, you know, bring an end to this season in his life. He feels as if God has forgot him. He feels as if God is hiding from him. And he says, how long? He questions how long. I think it's a situation that we can relate to at times in our lives as well. The other thing that it's interesting is I look at David and I see David's crying out to God here is that he takes it, you know, directly to God and saying, you know, you have forgotten me. You have hid your face from me. Yes, there were probably difficult situations, circumstances, things that were going on in David's life, but he's not necessarily pointing his attention to those things. He's pointing his attention directly at God and saying, you have forgotten me. We might not be quite as honest as David sometimes when we pray. Sometimes we might say, well, we want it to sound a little bit more spiritual than to blame God. But I've seen Christians, you know, when things aren't going the way that they want them to, and they become frustrated with God, instead of going to God, they sometimes take it out on the church and say, well, I don't want anything to do with the church. And Satan would love for us as believers to, you know, think that the problem that we're having in our life is somehow the fault of the church, the fault of other believers. And he, you know, wants to isolate us and make us feel as if we're all alone. That's the alone. That's the situation David was in, as he felt isolated, even isolated from God. And says, how long will you hide your face from me? David, he points directly at God, says, how long will you hide from me? The reality is, David, and I believe David knew this, we know that God did not forget David. God can't forget. And as we look at this, we see the emotions and the anguish as he talks about, as he takes counsel in his soul and the sorrow in his heart all the day long. God had not forgotten David, but at this time in his life, the emotion, the thought process in David's mind was that God had forgotten him. And so that's the question, how long? Verses 3 and 4, we see his petition, his, you know, request to God. He says, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He cries out to God for God to intervene, for God to change the situation and to lift his head. David's like, this situation, the role that I'm living in, my life today has me so beat up, I can't raise my head. And he asks God, lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And then also, he's concerned with what the testimony of his enemies will be, saying that we have prevailed over him. And he says, lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. You think about David's life. There were many in David's life that were at times considered his enemies and would have loved to have seen, you know, his failure. They would have loved to have seen his destruction. And he's like, they're going to rejoice in this situation that I am in. In other places, we see David, you know, basically, you know, making the appeal to God, you know, that, you know, for his own, you know, for his own name, you know, don't let your enemies take pride in what is, you know, happening to me. David's calling out to God to intervene, to lift up his head, to change this situation that he's in. If you look at other places in scripture, if you look at even some of the other Psalms, sometimes we see situations where people will pray to God and they'll be in a very difficult situation, and then God has the power to, like that, take care of it. He brings them out of that. Hannah, she was in a situation, very emotional, same kind of anguish, and she's praying to God and God hears, God answers, and she has a son, and we know all of that about the life of Samuel. Others in scripture that, you know, would pray to God and God would hear and God would answer. This psalm is a little bit interesting in that David talks about how bad the situation is, but he doesn't talk about what God does as far as changing that situation. He makes this cry of distress. He makes this petition to God. And then the thing that I want to draw our attention to this morning is found in verse 5, where he says, but I have trusted. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. What changed in David's life? What changed in the circumstances, the situation, the enemies that wanted to rejoice over his failure? What changed in David's life at this point? Nothing's changed yet. Nothing's changed at this point. all of the things that he was dealing with, all of the emotions he was dealing with, it's continued, it's still going, but he says, I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You look at this and you might almost say, man, David doesn't sound like he's doing too good. He seems a little bit unstable. He's way over here, and then he says, but, and he goes way over here to talking about trusting in the Lord, and his trust is in him, and he's going to sing, he's going to rejoice in his salvation, and he recognizes that God's dealt bountifully with him. You look at this, the emotions that he's describing in verses 1 and 2 and the feeling that God has forsaken him, was that pain real? Yes. Was it an enjoyable experience in his life? No. It was very real. It was causing him pain. Did he feel forgotten? Did he feel isolated even from God? Yes. But all of those feelings, though they were overwhelming to him, they didn't shake the truth that David knew to be. It didn't shake what David knew to be true. He knew who God was. He knew that he had trusted in God. I'm sure as we think about worship, and this morning, you know, I titled this message, Choosing to Worship, and Max, I'm sure, has studied in classes with worship, you know, the question, you know, define what is worship. I had that thrown at me one time, and, you know, all of these things that have been written talking about what is worship, what's worship? But really, the reason I said choosing to worship is David, even though things weren't going the way he wanted, even though God hadn't yet changed the situation, David here says that he chose to worship. It's a heart of worship because he remembered who God is. He remembered his trust that he had placed in God and that God has a steadfast love. And he says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Yes, all of the pain, all of the emotion, all of that was very real in David's life. But he chose not to let that control him, but he chose to let the truth that he knew about God have control in his life. He chose to trust God instead of continuing to spiral in that emotion. He said, I will sing because the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. In this prayer, in this petition that he made to God, yeah, he was honest with God in how he felt. He desired that God would do something, but he made a choice to respond in worship to God. Believers, as we come to church, as we come on a Sunday morning to the house of God to worship, you leave and you say, man, I just didn't care for that worship service this morning. The guitar wasn't even in tune. I just didn't care for that worship service. No, worship is something we make a choice to do. If we don't have an attitude of worship, you know, when we get here, it's going to be hard sometimes to ever get to that point before we're leaving. Worship is a choice that we make, not based on how we feel, because sometimes we just don't feel like it. Sometimes we hurt, we've got a backache, we've got a headache, we've got, you know, all of these things that are going on. We're like, man, I just don't feel like it today. But we choose to worship because of who God is. In the midst of the storms of life, when everything is spiraling out of control and we can identify with how David describes his situation, we can remember what we know to be true about God. We can remember that God is in control. Our emotions and the things that we're going through can't change the truth of who God is and what God has done for us. He says, I will sing to the Lord. This morning, I think the question that we all have to, you know, face, the question that we have to wrestle with in our day-to-day lives is, you know, what are we going to focus on? What are we going to focus on? And you can say, well, there's things that are going on right now that I'm concerned about, that I don't like, I'm worried about. You know, maybe it's something going on in your family and you say, you know, there's things that are going on within my family, my extended family, close family, but I can't control what everything is that's going on, and I don't like it. I can't make it go the way I want it to go, and I'm frustrated, I'm upset, I'm emotional. Well, those are true feelings, but what are we going to do with that? Are we going to focus on those things and continue to let that control our lives? Or are we going to trust in him? Even if he doesn't seem like he's present, you know, right there where we can feel his presence at that moment, do we still continue to trust in his steadfast love? Maybe you're looking around at, you know, things that are going on in our country and within our nation and decisions that are being made. And, you know, I don't know. The country seems to be very divided right now, and people on both sides are very upset. So I don't know where you sit on all of those issues. I'm saying a lot of people are upset about a lot of things right now. Do we focus on all of those things that are going on in this world, which have impact on our lives? Yes, they do, but God is the one that's in control. Our trust isn't in Washington. Our trust isn't in all of that. Do we focus on all of that and let it continue to bring us down? Or do we make a decision and say, yeah, that stuff is out of my control, but I have trusted in him. I've trusted in your steadfast love. Can we take a moment outside of all of the mayhem within our world to, like David, step out of that and say, I've trusted in him. I've chose to rejoice in his salvation. I'm going to sing to him because he has dealt bountifully with me. I don't know what is going on in your life right now. I know what's going on in all of our lives as a whole with COVID and all of the things that we can't control. But do we let those things cause us to continue to spiral? Or do we make a decision and say, we're going to do what God wants us to do, even when we don't feel like everything's going the way we want. We're going to continue to trust in him. We're going to continue to cling to him, because he's dealt bountifully with me. Things might not be going exactly the way you want at every moment of the day, but we know that he's dealt bountifully with us. We know he has taken care of us. He's provided for us. Nothing can change that. We look at the gospel message, and we talked about the true gospel last Sunday and the fact that Jesus came to a world that was broken because of sin. Our relationship with God was broken, and Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. He did what we couldn't do. He died in our place, and he rose victorious over death and the grave in order that we could have relationship restored with God, that we could have fellowship with God. Church, if God doesn't do anything else for us in this life to say, wow, he's just throwing his blessings upon us, he's treating us, you know, so much better than we deserve. If God doesn't do anything else for us in this life, but I believe he will, if he doesn't do anything else for us, he's blessed us bountifully in what he's done in sending his son to be our Savior. I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me this morning. We're going to prepare for a time of invitation, but I'm going to pray. And however God's speaking to your heart this morning, whatever you're going through, give that to him and then choose to trust in him. Father God, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for this psalm that reminds us that we don't always have control. We don't always know, Father, where you're at in the midst of everything that's going on. But Father, we know that you are trustworthy. Father, we know that our salvation is secure in you. And Father, there are those that don't know you, that when things are out of their control, when they despair, Father, they're completely alone in that despair. But Father, even in times of despair, Father, we know that we can look to you and, Father, find a heart of worship because you've been good to us. And Father, I just ask that you would tug at our hearts this morning, Father, that you would draw us close to you, and Father, that you would be honored through all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.